strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. If you know a remarkable Valley teacher that deserves a $2,500 check, we have something called Pay Tribute to a Teacher. It's a program that we present here, and it's presented by your Valley Toyota dealers in partnership with them. If you know a great teacher that deserves that check, just text the word TEACHER to 411-923. You can nominate a teacher there. That's TEACHER to 411-923. So we played this on the air the other day. We had, well, first of all, we had a real life fallout today of this vaccine stuff and what's going on. We had a firefighter from the Salt River Pima community who was fired after decades over a decade being on with the fire department. And this is someone that has dedicated his life to that community and lost his job because he wouldn't get the vaccine, where his beliefs came in conflict with the employer and the requirement, so he lost his job. Joe Rogan is a very well-known comedian, very well-known a television host, very well-known in the podcast world. What's interesting about what happened with Joe Rogan is he was accused of, by CNN as a network, it was more than one host, it was more than a couple of hosts, and they accused him. I just want you to hear. This is a promo from Anderson Cooper and his show one night talking about Rogan.
Joe Rogan, a popular comedian and podcaster who's told his listeners the COVID vaccine is not necessary for young people, just disclosed he has COVID. He also acknowledged taking a controversial treatment designed for animals. That's coming up.
Okay. Controversial. And that is a bald-faced lie that there is nothing controversial about ivermectin. It is used. There is an animal product, but ivermectin in human for humans, which is a standard that is used, especially if you have some kind of a bug, they use it. And it was recognized by Gupta on Rogan's show that that's the case. This is Rogan asking him about that.
Does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied? Well, just outright lied about me taking horse dewormer.
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask? You're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before coming on the podcast.
But they did it with such glee.
No,
yes,
Joe.
I watched.
So Gupta... That was him on Rogan's show, on his podcast. So then Don Lemon has Sanjay Gupta on after that interview with Rogan and a completely different story. This is Don Lemon and Gupta.
Ivermectin is a drug that is commonly used as a horse dewormer. So it is not a lie to say that the drug is used as a horse dewormer. And it is not approved for COVID, correct?
That's right. That's correct. It is not approved for COVID. And you're right. I mean, the FDA even put out a statement saying, you know, basically reminding people, it was a strange sort of message from the FDA, but that said, you're not a horse, you're not a cow, stop taking this stuff is essentially what they said, referring to ivermectin. Now, I think what Joe's point
that
is...
It's been approved for humans, but not necessarily for COVID, right? Yeah.
That's correct. It's been used for a parasitic disease, for something it's called river blindness, and it's been very effective for that. But, you know, just because it works for one thing doesn't mean it works for something else.
Which is all true, except in this case, they are saying that the medication, and Don Lemon did it again, there is a difference in the product. There is a veterinary use, but there is also a human use. And the products are different, that just because you have something, they give antibiotics to animals as well. I want you to remember that veterinarians give antibiotics to animals. So I have a friend who does veterinary sales, much like a medical salesperson does veteran sales to doctor's offices. He does sales to veterinarians' offices. So the idea that has been perpetuated, and it happens on both sides, but especially in this case, what's happened is anybody who didn't toe the line with the Biden administration on this, anybody who listened to, remember, President Trump was telling people to inject bleach into their bodies and all this other stuff, they made anything that Donald Trump said sound like it was the absolute dumbest thing that was ever said. And ivermectin, through a lot, and I know people that have used it that said it worked. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not advocating for the use of ivermectin. I'm not doing that at all. What I'm saying is, why would you demonize someone? Why would you demonize someone for doing this? Well, the answer is because it fits a narrative. I don't think it has to do with big pharma. I don't think it has to do with profits. I think it has to do with politics. If you are a Trump supporter, people deduct IQ points. That's how the media has been perceiving and presenting Trump supporters all along. Go on social media. If you vote for Trump, A, you're racist because you voted for him, and you're dumb, and you're a sheep, and all of these other things. So there isn't, I disagree with you. It's, you're a horrible human being. Joe Rogan is one of the most talented people. You talk about a guy who has carved out a career for himself. He's not a dumb man. And for CNN to make these statements is bad enough. But for Dr. Gupta to go on with Rogan and say, hey, listen, they shouldn't have said that. It wasn't a very nice thing to say. Gupta mentions the FDA tweet on both shows. On Rogan's podcast, he said it was snarky. They shouldn't have done it. And with Don Lemon, it was almost, yeah, well, that's what they did. That's what they said about this product. There's more. This is more of Dr. Gupta on with Don Lemon.
Yeah, there's still a few ongoing clinical trials around ivermectin. But for the most part, if you look at the data, there's no evidence that it really works here. When Joe got sick, he took ivermectin. He also took monoclonal antibodies, mm-hmm. which is, you know, an infusion of these antibodies. So he took both those things. It's very likely it was the monoclonal antibodies that made him feel better so quickly.
And that's, you know what, to give that kind of medical advice and to say that, I have absolutely no problem with it. I don't think most people do. To demonize Joe Rogan as some kind of mentally deficient person, because that was what happened. Right away, what happened with that was, oh, and you can see it everywhere, social media. But this is more than just anonymous people on social media. This is a narrative in major news. Oh, I see. So you're afraid to take a vaccine that's been approved by the FDA, but you'll inject or you'll take horse dewormer. Oh, look at you. That's been the narrative. It's a false narrative. And instead of anyone, because journalists, and I work with a lot of the best journalists in the business in this building, a real journalist looks at a story like that and somebody looks up and says, you know what? Ivermectin has been used in human form over a billion times. Now, maybe not for this. It might not be effective. But to say that this is a horse dewormer, to say that this is a medication that's only used in animals is a false narrative. So why wouldn't you be the journalist that goes out and says, wait a minute, I understand that this has not been approved for use in COVID-19, but to accuse people of using horse medication is a false narrative. And we're demonizing people and we're making people look like idiots falsely. And that's my problem with this, is that you can't, it doesn't matter politically, whether it's the border or whether it's voting for Donald Trump or what you believe about the election or it's the vaccines or the masks. You're not just wrong, you're horrible. You're evil, you're stupid, you shouldn't be allowed to exist. And we've got to get past it. We have to stop this stuff. We're going to talk about the city of Phoenix, the continued growth, but where are we getting our growth from? It's a very interesting story coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you spending some time. An interesting story, a LinkedIn study, studying people that are moving across the country. And the shift, the demographic shift is coming to the desert Southwest. There's no doubt about it. I grew up in the 70s and 80s in Southwest Florida, and Florida was a destination from the Midwest, what was called the Rust Belt. They made it that move to the Southeast. We watched the explosion in population across Florida and across the southeastern United States. Well, that same thing is happening now in the desert Southwest. Phoenix will continue to grow. I believe the valley as a whole will continue to grow to be a huge metropolitan area, even much bigger than it is now. We know that Vegas, New Mexico, others are going to grow. And we are seeing an exodus of people from other places, and they're ending up here in the city of Phoenix. So where is our growth coming from? The majority of the growth, according to this study, is coming from Los Angeles, Chicago, and San Francisco. So right away, everybody says, well, aha, that's why the politics in Arizona is switching from dark red to purple to maybe blue, because the political thoughts of people are, but if a lot of those people are moving for opportunity and they are moving because they are being taxed out of where they are, they're sick of the anti-police movement and crime in Chicago, so they're moving to other places. Maybe that's not the case. It might be. And from Phoenix, the people that are leaving here and going elsewhere, the majority of people that are doing that are going to the Dallas area, are going to Texas. This is according to this LinkedIn study. So people in Arizona are moving to other places where the economy is booming. I have seen a dramatic shift in Arizona that I'm very proud of. I think it's great for us economically. When I moved here in 1995, I loved it. I moved here. I fell in love with Arizona in 1992, had an opportunity to move out here in 95 and jumped at the chance. And I have never regretted the move. I love it here. But this was a construction industry driven place. Yes, Intel was here. Yes, we had Honeywell here and some other major corporations were here. But construction really drove the economy in Arizona. When the housing market crashed, we saw a huge crash in our economy. So credit to the Brewer administration, Jan Brewer, the governor, the Brewer administration and the state legislature for stopping the hemorrhaging that was going on and getting us back balanced and able to grow out of it. In comes the Ducey administration, and we've seen not just growth, but we've seen growth in diversity. Now you're seeing manufacturing jobs here, more manufacturing jobs than construction jobs, higher paying jobs. Credit ASU, U of A, of course, as well, but I'm speaking here of the Valley. Credit ASU, the engineering program that is bringing high-tech companies here so that they can draw right here in the Valley from kids, well, graduates of that school. I say kids, they're kids to me, but people that are graduating from the engineering school. You look at the other schools, Cronkite and all of the other schools that they have, they offer at ASU. It is now, instead of in 95 when I moved here, people that were graduating with these degrees and these great programs at ASU, U of A, NAU, and the other universities in Arizona, they were looking for somewhere else to go to take that expertise. Now companies are coming here to draw from that employee pool. I think this is a terrific time for the Valley. How we manage the growth in the next 10 years is going to set us up for the next 50 to 100 years. And I think whoever we elect to the major offices statewide, but locally as well, is going to have a huge impact on what we're going to be next. So how will this new demographic affect us? Because if you look at the numbers, the fastest growing demographic of voter is independent. But still, in Arizona, although the gap has narrowed, the number one voting demographic is still Republican in Arizona. It's Republican, then it is independent, then it is Democrat. We are seeing both major parties, Republican and Democrat, lose voters, or at least their growth is dramatically lower than we're seeing independent voters. So the idea that because you're coming from San Francisco or L.A. or Chicago, you're naturally bringing with you liberal politics doesn't necessarily play out. And I'll be honest, I think a bit of it is an excuse that we are making excuses as me, as a registered Republican voter, not a member of the Republican Party, but a voter that votes Republican. We make excuses because we have been losing ground. We make excuses that it's people that are coming here from other places. I believe in the don't California my Arizona, that people say that. I believe that we should not allow California politics to do to Arizona what California is doing by chasing out businesses with overtaxation. I agree with all of that in principle. But what this looks like is very, very strange. Hey, apparently we've got some breaking news. Let's get it over to Jeff Mumm with some breaking news.
KTAR, breaking news alert. I'm Jeff Mun. This just into the KTAR newsroom. The University of Arizona is now mandating COVID-19 vaccines for all employees by December 8th. In an email sent to University of Arizona staff today, President Dr. Robert Robbins cites President Biden's vaccine mandate for the new requirement. There may be some exceptions through the university's Disability Resource Department, but for now, all University of Arizona employees are now required to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 by December 8th. We'll have more on this breaking news coming up in less than 5 minutes. Get breaking news notifications right to your phone by downloading the KTAR News app. And for more, go to KTAR.com.
All right, that is big breaking news out of the University of Arizona. We're going to have more of that coming up here in just a few moments in the newscast. University of Arizona citing the vaccine mandate from the Biden administration of why they're mandating this on campus. I think that this is where the fallout will begin to grow, and that's because parents and children, we are more inclined to put ourselves at risk, but not our kids. So if you're someone who is not 100% sold on vaccines, and now you're finding out your hard-earned money and the ones you love on campus have to be vaccinated, I think there's going to be some pushback. We'll find out more. So we'll talk about student test scores falling and more about this on the other side of the news. News is next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Big news. You just heard Jeffrey Porter in the news. This is from the Robert Robbins, the doctor, the president of Arizona State, you know, or, I'm sorry, University of Arizona. President Biden recently issued an executive order that requires institutions that contract with the federal government, such as the University of Arizona, to comply with guidance from the Safer Federal Workforce Workforce Task Force. The task force has issued guidance that requires such institutions to ensure their employees are fully vaccinated for COVID-19 by December 8th, 2021. The university has hundreds of millions of dollars in federal contracts, funding critical research, employment, and educational efforts, and already has received amended federal contracts that include this requirement. While we respect individual options regarding vaccines, we will continue with these mission-critical endeavors, and we'll be complying with this new requirement. Accordingly, university employees, which includes student workers and graduate assistants and associates, must upload vaccine documentation by December 8th, showing they are fully vaccinated, to comply with the vaccination requirement, unless they have been granted a religious or a disability accommodation. So this is not applying, I guess, to students, but it is to the staff at the U of A. Want to remind you of something. This is the Speaker of the House, the Vice President of the United States, the press spokeswoman for the White House. This is the president himself and others talking about mandates all year long.
We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do.
Needless to say, the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is not negotiable.
No, definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
Our interest is very simple, from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected.
It is a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't.
We don't want to be mandating from the federal government to the general population. It would be unenforceable and not appropriate.
Perhaps the federal government should step in and issue mandates, and if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory.
So he wouldn't demand it be mandatory. I'm going to read to you again the requirement. University employees, which include student workers and graduate assistants associates, must, and now all in bold letters, upload vaccine documentation by December 8th, 2021, showing they are fully vaccinated to comply with the vaccination requirement, unless they've been granted a religious or disability accommodation. So, which is it? Is it that the federal government, that if you listen to that montage closely, Nancy Pelosi says it can't be done, Fauci says it's never been done and it wouldn't be appropriate, the White House press spokeswoman says that it's not the role of the federal government, the president of the United States said no and he wouldn't make it mandatory. And here we are. Here we are in October of the same year, and they're saying it. There is no question. There are so, and to all of you out there that are mandate positive, you mandate pro-mandate, what's what we just played there? How do you reconcile those two? Were you screaming that they were wrong when they said this the first time around, that they couldn't do it? Not just shouldn't, but couldn't. There's a major difference. When you hear Jen Psaki say it isn't the role of the federal government, when you hear Nancy Pelosi say that it's a matter of privacy to know if somebody's been vaccinated or not, when you see these things happening and then they go against it, do at least if you don't agree with me, and I know many of you don't, do you at least understand the frustration? Violating the Constitution in special circumstances is still a violation of the Constitution. And if you do it once, it's easier to do it again. That's not coming from a paranoid person on the right about the left. That's why the Constitution is written the way that it is. It is why the Constitution says that anything specifically, any power not specifically given to the federal government is assumed to be the power of the states, or assumed that where the states have that power. They write that the Constitution is not written that gives you and I any rights. What it does is it limits the power of the federal government. It restricts how strong and how big and how invasive it can become. And we have crossed that line with mandates. This is as invasive as it gets. And the reason why I make such a big deal about this is because it never ends here. And I'll tell you, I've made my apologies and my mea culpa. I was a proponent of the Patriot Act when it first came out. I listened to President Bush talk about it. I listened to them say that this was going to be inbound calls from known terrorist countries into the U.S., and there were going to be key words that would be hit on that would then go into us finding out what was going on with those phone calls. So it was not going to be outbound calls from the U.S. It was calls coming in from other countries with key words attached. And I was in favor of it. And everybody that I knew said, this is such an overreach. This is going to be an overreach. It's going to be abused. It is going to shift, and it's going to not be what it looks like now down the road. And they were right. I was wrong. It's not good or bad. It's the nature of the beast. We have very good laws on the books that sometimes people, it's an overreach, an unintended overreach, but an overreach. When it came to GPS and surveillance, the FBI was using surveillance that way. Instead of manpower surveillance, they were digitally tracking people. Someone got taken to court, and the FBI stance was, if we can follow them with our eyes, we should be able to electronically follow them. And the courts disagreed, and they had to shut off a lot of those GPS trackers. But is that an abuse of power, or is that an expansion of power where the courts have to intervene? In this instance, we are talking about whether or not you must inject something into your body in order to keep a job mandated by the federal government. And I hope people wake up. I've been fully vaccinated. I had no problem with the vaccine. I would tell people that it's fine for, you know, if they asked me, it worked great for me. But mandating this goes way too far, way too far. Students and test scores that are falling all across the country for the first time ever. We're going to talk about why coming up in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Coming up just after 11 o'clock, we're going to talk more about this. Now all the major universities, state universities here in Arizona, are going to be complying with vaccine mandates for employees, including graduate assistants and associates. So we're going to talk a lot more about that in the 11 o'clock hour. And of course, Jeff is going to have more about this in the news coming up in just a few moments. So I hope you'll be around for that. But it's been a huge, very, very big news day. Student test scores, 13-year-old students, have plummeted for the first time since they've been keeping these records going back to the 1970s. Now, we all understand that these test scores that are falling are because of COVID-19. The online classes, the push to be online, the lack of aggressiveness in opening classrooms back up, people should be held accountable for that. And I will tell you, because it's political, you can call it whatever you want. This was a political maneuver. Joe Biden promised that the schools are going to be open by a certain date when he came into office, and then they changed their tune because they had heard from the NEA and the AFT, which are the National Educators Association and the American Federation of Teachers, major teacher unions that donate billions of dollars to Democrat causes. And so this was a political maneuver. When you look, and there are other unions, by the way, there are public safety unions, there are firefighters unions, there are police officer unions in every city across this country. And we didn't hear from law enforcement officers. They didn't want to go to work. They went to work. The NYPD had huge numbers of COVID cases. So did FDNY. Here in Arizona, the Phoenix Police Department saw a spike. When we had the Black Lives Matter protests, the Phoenix Police Department saw a big spike in COVID cases. Did you hear about those? Of course you didn't. So education in America and every other business, if you owned a business, if you owned a gym, if you owned a restaurant, if you owned a hair salon, if you were in the service industry, when they shut you down, you were scrambling to open the minute you could. And you did. Your survival depended on it. The minute they told you you could open up in any capacity, you did it. We didn't do that with education. Educators continued to say, we want to teach kids online. We want kids to learn online. Well, it's coming back to bite them. So now what we're hearing is the Tempe Union School District, the high school district, just had a meeting where everybody lined up to say, we need counselors and we need all these things for our emotional well-being, so we want to get rid of the cops. They certainly weren't concerned about the fallout of the emotional well-being while they were keeping schools closed. When the the Phoenix Union High School District didn't want to open up in any capacity in any neighborhood and applied for a waiver to do as much, and they did. They were denied by the state. They were forced to open in some capacity to serve the communities that they all claim that they are there for and that's most important to them. Just remember that even the basics of services from the schools in some of these at-risk neighborhoods that they talk about all the time, they wanted to keep the doors shut. And I'm not lying about that. That's you can look that up yourself. So here we are now seeing the fallout. And the fallout is, it's the first time we've seen a reduction like this since they've been keeping records. This is what we will feel for the long-term effect of this. We are going to see a logjam of students, summer school and kids held back, or kids that are passed on that just are not prepared for the real world. It is shameful that we are letting our children down this way. The politics and the business of education have taken the place of education. We can talk about curriculum, and I think it's a valid conversation, but we know that these political things have been going on for years. The critical race theory, although it might not have been called that, or emotional social learning and all this other stuff, those programs, things like that, if not those specific programs, have been there for a long time. What's happened with COVID-19 and the unwillingness of teachers to go back into the classroom, and the teachers' unions keeping the schools closed as long as they did, have a direct effect on all of this. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt about it. All right. What we're going to do is ASU, U of A, NAU have all put out statements saying that they are going to comply for employees to have the vaccine mandates. Because of the White House, the fallout from this, what all of this is going to do, what it all means is what we're going to talk about next right after news. And of course, did you hear this is coming up? Stick around.